السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی سینڈ ڈاؤن ٹو اس دا قرآن شریف. دا قرآن شریف از دا ڈائریکٹ ورڈز آف اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی. اللہ تعالی سینڈ دس ٹو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم دین کنویڈ اٹ ٹو دا امت. Then we get the ahadith. This includes the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the actions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the tacit approvals of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If something was done in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he didn't stop it, then that action will be permissible. Because the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, if something happens in his presence and it is incorrect, then he cannot keep quiet. He will have to rectify the situation or explain that that thing is wrong. He can't keep quiet. So if the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala kept quiet, then that means that action is permissible. So, it is very, very important for us that we take our direction from the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For that is the root, the Quran Sharif, the Ahadith, the Mubarakah. Right? And then obviously not all of us have that capacity that we can go directly to the Quran Sharif, directly to the Hadith Sharif. We haven't studied. A lot of times people get mixed up when they try to go directly to the source. People don't sometimes understand different concepts of tafsir, hadith, how to understand the hadith sharif. So that's why we have our asatiza, we have our teachers who teach us, who guide us. But then we must be very, very careful who we study by also. We must see who we're taking our deen from. We can't just take our deen from AI. We can't take our deen from Google. We can't just take our deen from just anyone and everyone. Just like if I have a health problem, a serious health issue. Now, before I go to a doctor, before I go to a surgeon, I will first find out what is this person's credentials. His patients, are more of them candidates in the graveyard, or more of them are okay, they're recovering. Now when I get some good feedback and good, you know, then I'll go to that person. I won't just find just anyone who claims to be a doctor or a surgeon and say, well, okay, you are claiming to be a surgeon, so just do some open heart surgery for me now. I'll find out, is this person qualified? Is this person experienced? Is he good at what he's doing? Then I will take from him. Otherwise, I'm not just going to take from anyone and everyone. So when we understand that, when it comes to our deen, I think we men folk, where we understand it properly is when it comes to our motor car. Don't just give any mechanic. Somebody just claimed to be a mechanic. You said, I do work on my car or panel beater. Just give it. No. By who referred him? Whose cars did he service already? You need to find out properly. Is a bush mechanic or is a proper mechanic? So when it comes to dunyavi things, worldly things, then we find out. So more so when it comes to our deen, we can't just take just from anyone and everyone to find out this person's credentials. Is this person really following Quran Sharif, really following the Sunnah? Sometimes people get confused. They say, now, why must we follow these sheikhs said, why must we follow these? The Maulana keeps saying Hazrat, Hazrat. So why must follow? Where does Hazrat came from now? There were no Hazrats that time. Why must we follow these people? The only reason we follow them, is because they are following Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If they're not following Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're not going to follow them. We want to follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But we don't know exactly how to do it. So now we need some help. So we will find a person who is following, who got the knowledge, he's got the know-how, he's following to the best of his ability. We don't say that he is infallible. We don't say that he is perfect, he can't make a mistake. No, he too can make a mistake. Right? But at least we get an example how to follow. So now we will follow them, we will refer to them, we will ask them our masail, etc., whatever advice we need. In our life, sometimes we are faced with a situation, we don't know what to do, we don't know which way to go. Instead of leaving it to our own minds, leaving it to our emotions, leaving it to me asking a friend who doesn't know. You know, sometimes you get them, especially amongst the youngsters, right? Now that fellow found one girl now. He knows his parents are not going to approve of the girl. Now, who is seeking advice from? His friend, who also found a girl who the parents are not going to approve of. Now, the both of them are discussing. Now, this is a recipe for disaster. Person should be going to somebody senior, somebody knowledgeable, somebody who can advise him, somebody who can guide him how to navigate through these waters so that he doesn't sink. There was a friend of mine, we were in madrasa together. Right? He had completed Hibs and then he left madrasa. And then he got involved with a girl who didn't have iman. Got involved with a non-Muslim girl. So now he wanted to marry her. He wants to get married to this girl now. And his parents, they came from a Tablighi background. They were involved in the work of Tablighi. He grew up in that kind of house. Right? So now he doesn't know how to do this thing now. So he approaches his parents. Well, I found this girl now, I want to marry her. Who's this girl? Parents say, sorry, can't get married to her. So at that time, when the nafs wants to do something, you become very knowledgeable. You know everything now. So now he's telling his parents, whole life you want to call people to deen. You want people to bring iman. You will read Fazail Amal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, if one person accepts Islam on your hands, is more valuable than red camels. But now when I want to bring somebody into Islam and iman here, now you are saying no. So you all are hypocrites. Person becomes very pious that time, very knowledgeable. Can argue in favor of his nafs. But at the end of the day, who's guiding him? He's under the guidance of shaitan. He's under the guidance of his nafs. And when the person, his nafs has got him, this is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us different du'as. That ask Allah Ta'ala for protection against the nafs. Ya Allah, I seek protection in you from the evil of my nafs. Oh Allah, I seek protection in you from the evil of woman, the fitna of woman. Oh Allah, I seek protection in you from the fitna of the dunya. The whisperings of shaitan. All these things we have to ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us. Because when a person gets caught up in that can become very stubborn. Nobody can tell him anything. He's got all the answers. He knows everything. So eventually he went and he got married. He got married. So I met him now years later. He had now made taluk with Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib now in Barakat. This is years later now. So I met him once at the Darul Uloom in some program. And he's telling me his story. He's telling me, you know, it's only Allah Ta'ala's mercy on me. Otherwise, along the way, I would have lost my iman. You see, when I think back now, and I think back about this whole thing, all those arguments I was putting forward and everything, it was just so that I can do what my nafs wanted me to do. See, but I got involved in every wrong after that. Because now my parents were upset with me. The door was closed on me. So now I got license to do what I want to do now. So when they were celebrating Christmas, I was there. It's just only Allah Ta'ala's mercy that Allah Ta'ala gave me realization. I made Tawbah, I made Istighfar. And my wife also, she also came, you know, online, not on the internet line, but I mean also on the three of you explain it. You talk about an apple, you got to explain yourself. Everything you say, you got to give an explanation. So she also went into hijab and they made taluk with Hazrat Muhammad Hamid Sahib, and alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala keep us and keep them all with istiqamah. There's one incident I always remember. I was about 18 years old at the time, 18, 19 years old at the time. So I had gone to a certain town, and the madrasa had sent us to go and read Taraweeh. So a brother from the town, he came to me and he said that, you know what, I need you to come and speak to my wife. He's a young man. I need to come. Now, I was even younger. He's telling me, I need to come and speak to his wife. There were no ulama in that town. There was no musalla, no masjid, nothing. No maktab, no madrasa, nothing. We were speaking after Asr. That sometimes our concern is only the world. The people, they were affluent. They were doing very well in business. But no madrasa, nothing. Only Ramadan time, they get together to read Isha and Taraweeh. I'm talking about in South Africa, not somewhere else. The condition was that so many of them would come there, they won't read Isha. They come, they are standing outside, they're puffing away or whatever, but they won't read Isha namaz. Taraweeh time, they all come inside to read Taraweeh. So on like the third night, I asked them, you are here, why don't you come to read Isha? So the answer that I got, you know, that we don't read whole year. Ramadan, you have to do two things. You have to fast and read Taraweeh. So we're doing that now. That was the level of ignorance. Now, alhamdulillah, in that town, there's 2-3 masajids, there's madrasa, there's ulama living there, kufars. This is the barakat of our ulama, work of tabligh, work of tasawwuf, all these works. We bring deen alive with Allah Ta'ala. So khair, this young man now, he says to me that I must come and talk to his wife. So I asked him, I said, what's the issue? So he said, no, she wants to teach my child Christianity. What is going on here, you know? So I asked somebody, one of the people, I said, what's the story? So he said, no, this lady was a Christian lady. And he married her, she accepted Islam, he married her. So they don't know now exactly what the challenge is. So here we went to the house. So this lady, she says that, see, she had some weird questions, you know. One question she asked, she says, doesn't Allah Pak get tired of us? 5 times a day, she said, if somebody has to phone me 5 times a day, I'll get tired of the person. This is the thinking. You see, when there's no grounding, there's no ta'neem, there's no proper grounding in Iman. Now this is the type of thinking. Whereas Allah Pak, over and above the faras, He wants us to read dafal also. That's how we'll become His beloveds. So, anyway, after all her questions, in the end she said, see, we got a 3-year-old son. So I'm going to teach the son Christianity. If he wants to teach the son Islam, he must teach. When the son grows up, the son must make up his mind what he wants to be. So I asked her, I said, but you accepted Islam. Why you want to do this? Don't you want Islam for your child? What she told me, she said, see, this man was dating me. We were going out, we were dating before we got married. We met in a nightclub. And then we were dating. So we used to go to the movies, we used to go clubbing, he was drinking with me, everything we used to do. Eventually, he tells me, no, he wants to marry me, but I have to become a Muslim. So I said, well, this Islam is very easy, there's nothing different from my life and his life. And my parents were staunch Christians. They never did all these things. I was a rebel. I was running around in the nightclubs and everything, and that's where I met this fellow. So we were running around together. So when he told me he must become Muslim, so I said, no problem. I became Muslim. So the first couple of years went like that. We carried on clubbing and doing everything. And then the child came about. Now as the child is growing, now he's telling me, no, we can't go to the club. We can't do this. I must start wearing a scarf. I must start learning about Islam. And he wants to start practicing Islam. So all this time, what was he? He's a hypocrite. She's saying this in front of him. He's a hypocrite. So I'm not going to teach my child his religion. I'm going to teach my child the religion of my parents. Then when the child gets big, the child must be sent. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah protect us from the evils of the nafs, the evils of shaitan, fitna of woman. Woman is the biggest test for man. The biggest test for man is woman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I haven't seen an akalman person, you know, person with the akal, proper intelligence, get so fooled, I'm just saying in our language, by woman. In other words, a man, despite his superior intelligence, everything Allah Ta'ala has given him, but how he can get misled by a woman, we must be very, very careful. Very careful. So Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates something that one experience he had with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house and he's coming into Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were sitting there And they were having a light moment. They were laughing. But the word that comes in the Hadith Sharif, they were laughing, meaning laughing loud. Laughing such a way where you expose your teeth. Not just smiling, just a little, you know. They were laughing, but aloud. Now, must remember, this was a zamana of tarbiyat, right? They had all just accepted Islam. Now, slowly, slowly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching them. Right? So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to them. And he says to them that, you know, you must remember death. You must remember death. Because this remembrance of death is the thing that cuts haram pleasures. And then he says to them that, see, if you're going to remember death, then this occupation with occupying the mind with the reflection over maut, that will occupy you from what I'm seeing you doing now. In other words, you won't be able to be like this. In one Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that if you really understood, if you knew what I know, if you really know what's going to happen in the qabr, in the akhirat, jahannam, etc., then you won't even be able to enjoy your wife in your bed. You won't be able to even enjoy your wife in the bed. So, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving them this advice. He's saying that think of maut. And we find that our akabirin, our mashayikh, they always advise us. Let's see, before going to sleep, think of death. And this advice is in keeping with the advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us masnoon duas. The masnoon dua before you go to sleep, is reminds us of death. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Ya Allah, with your name I die, with your name I will wake up. First thing we wake up in the morning, alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. And all praise is due to Allah Ta'ala who gave us life after having given us death. Because sleep is like a death. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. This is not the end of it. It's not just I'm waking up to go to work and I'm waking up to go to office. No. One day I'm going to wake up from my qabr and I'm going to go to Allah Ta'ala for resurrection. So in the night also we must think about that. In the morning also we must think about that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the think of death. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that not a day goes by without the grave, the qabr, making this announcement. We don't hear the announcement. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the grave makes this announcement. So what the qabr says, the grave, what it says, Ana baytul ghurba. I am the home, a very strange home. You got no friends here. There's nothing familiar over here. It's a strange place. Ana baytul wahda. I am that home where you'll be alone. There's nobody else there. There's no friends, there's no family. Nothing. You're going to be alone in the qabr. In one Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that three things follow the mayyit: his family, his wealth, and his deeds. Two things go back. The family and the wealth go back. In Jummah, we spoke about, where was Jummah? So I think we mentioned this Hadith Sharif, Jumat. The family will go back. The wealth will go back. The wealth, as soon as we pass away, it belongs to somebody else. Allah Ta'ala has already decreed who's going to get that wealth. It's not ours. It's going to be distributed. The family, how long they'll remember that they ours, that only Allah knows. They will go back, the wealth will go back. The only thing that will remain is our deeds, our amal. So in reality, our worth is our deeds. Nothing else. Bank balance will stay behind. Property portfolio will stay behind. Motor cars will stay behind. Profession will stay. Everything is going to stay behind. Clothing is going to stay behind. What? Anything is going to stay behind. The only thing that's going to come with us is our amal. That's our worth, our deeds. Good and bad. Both. Both good and bad. That's what we're going to be judged on. That is our worth. So the grave says that ana baytul wahda, I am this house of loneliness. There's nobody else here. Ana baytul turab, I am the home of soil. Many ulama in Cape Town, the older ulama, I don't know now the younger ones, but the older ulama, a lot of them studied in Newcastle, in the Darul Uloom in Newcastle, in the era of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sema Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Allah please cover the name. So I remember, towards the latter portion of his life, he had come to Pietermaritzburg for a Bukhari khatab. And in that khatab, I don't remember the whole khatab, what else he said, but this, what he mentioned, just stuck in my mind. He said, you can be an electrician. You could have put 1 million globes in different people's houses. So many people's houses, you put electricity. But when you go in the qabr, you won't even be able to connect one globe for yourself. He said, you can be a carpenter. You made so many people's cupboards. But when you go in the qabr, you won't even be able to make one simple cupboard for yourself. You could have sold beds. So many people in the dunya are sleeping on beds they bought from you. So when you go in your cupboard, you won't be able to take one bed anymore. So that is the home of the soil. There's nothing else there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this insan, the only thing that will fill him is the soil of the cupboard. That's the time now. He can't do anything more. Until then, if his islah is not made, he will just be like a greedy guzzler. Just wants to see more, what I can get more. Yeah, I can get more. Got one valley of gold, he wants two valleys of gold. The goalpost always moves. No matter what Allah Ta'ala gives us, initially you think that, you know, if I just sort myself out with that, sort it out. When you reach that point, now the goalpost changes. No, I just need that now. I just need that. There's just no end to it. If a person's islah is not made, then there's no end to it. But the only thing that will fill him is the وَلَيَّمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ. Nothing will fill him except the sand of the qabr. So the qabr makes this announcement that أَنَا بَيْتُ التُّرَابُ. In today's time, all we are worried about appearance. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, the son of Hazrat Shah Ki Makhdar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib Daun Barakatuhu, in Binoni once he was delivering a majlis. So he asked, he said, he was explaining that we give so much of importance to this physical body. So much of importance, my hair, this cream, this zamana, boys also, man. Hey, they're using so many things. Our time, when we went to madrasa, they gave us one cake of soap. You went to madrasa with that one soap. Today's time, you see the children, they got shampoo, they got conditioner, they got something for dandruff, they got this cream, that cream. No. You say, boys, this was all girls' stuff, man. Girls used to use all, not boys. Now boys also, they're going for facials and manicures and pedicures and what mask? Some mask they put on the man. I don't know what and what they're doing. Boys. Mud mask. What?
Cold.
What is it?
Cold.
Cold mask. All these funny things. Right? So he asked, he said, who can see me? He asked people, he said, who can see me? My mother. He said, who can see me? So everybody is, they say, no, whoever can see me, pick up your hands. So many people picked up their hands. So then he asked, he said, if I have to pass away now, then what would you call me? If I pass away now, my body is lying here. Then you don't say, Muhammad Mazhar is lying here. You say, where's the body? They gave ghusl to the body. The body came. You don't address the person by the name anymore. You refer to him as a lash, as a body. See what happened? The only thing that happened is my ruh went away. So as soon as my ruh went away, now you don't call me by my name anymore. Now you call me the body. So in reality, you can't see me because I'm not this physical body. The physical body will still be here. But you don't call me by my name anymore. So what went away is my ruh. So in actual fact, that is who I am. The ruh. The physical body is from the dunya. Right? The physical body was formed in the womb of the mother before you came. The physical body is formed. The drop turns into blood. The blood turns into flesh. The flesh starts taking form. Then Allah Pak sends you. Now you come get blown into that body. The moment we pass away, the body stays behind because it's from here. The ruh goes away. But our effort is on the body. We're not thinking about the ruh. Our effort is on the physical body. So there has to be certain amount of effort on the physical body. You've got to be neat, tidy, you've got to be clean, don't smell. You know, all those things are fine. But to get so engrossed only in the comforts of the physical body, the enjoyments of the physical body, the appearance of the physical body, and then not to worry about who we really are. We forgot who we really are. If the person is taking a scrap car from the scrap yard and is giving it a valet, there's no engine inside. He's giving the valet. So, then we laugh at the person. This fellow is, he lost it. That's exactly what we're doing. We're not worried about the engine, the ruh, the real thing. We're not worried about that. We worried about the physical body. So this physical body, what will happen to the physical body? The Qabr says, Anabaytu Dud. That I am the home of worms. I am the home of worms. The worms eat up the body. Illa mashallah. The body of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam is haram on the earth. The bodies of the shuhada, the earth doesn't consume. And then there are those pious servants of Allah Ta'ala whom Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow for the earth to consume their bodies. But the general masses, bodies are eaten up. So I'm the home of worms. The worms will consume the bodies. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the Qabr makes this announcement. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to explain that when a believing banda passed away, a servant of Allah Ta'ala who had brought iman, he lived his life following the Shariat, following the Sunnah, being obedient to Allah Ta'ala. When he passes away, and now he's put into the Qabr. Now you must remember, we look at earth. We just look at, this is just the ground. No. Earth is a creation of Allah Ta'ala. It's a creation, the makhluk of Allah, belongs to Allah. And when we do things on earth, when we are doing things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, earth becomes very happy. Earth becomes very happy that this person is using my back to be obedient to my master and his master. And when a person does otherwise, person is committing guna on the back of earth. So earth can't do him anything at that time. Because Allah Ta'ala didn't give earth the authority. But earth is fuming. He hates this person. You're using my back to break the laws of my Allah, your Allah. So when this believing banda, when he passes away, obedient banda, then the Qabr addresses him. Ahlan, welcome, welcome. You are from the most beloved people to me. Now imagine, I came from Durban, right? Landed in Cape Town. I don't know anybody on the flight. Right? I land here in this airport. I don't know anyone in this airport. Okay. And now I'm walking out into Cape Town, which is a strange land to me, right? As soon as I come out the doors, I see some friends now. They're welcoming me. Now all the strangeness is gone. Now I know, okay, there's somebody that I know. So that means there's a motor car that's going to take me somewhere, right? Now, I'll get fed, isn't it? I'll get a place to sleep, because there's people that I know here now. Jaan pehchaan now. Somebody I know. Now he's no more strange now. So now imagine you go into the Qabr. Baytul Ghurba, Baytul Wahda, Baytul Turab, Baytul Dud. But now the Qabr is addressing you. There's nobody there. The Qabr is addressing you. The O slave of Allah, you are the most beloved person to me on earth. Welcome to you. Now that you have been handed over to me, right? Now you'll see my hospitality towards you. Now you'll see my hospitality towards you. And while you were on top of me, I couldn't congratulate you. I couldn't tell you anything. But now that you have come, now your eyes have opened. Everybody says eyes closed. No, that's the time the eyes open. Because now you can see things which you couldn't see before. Now you see the reality of things. Right? So now, welcome to you. Now you have come to me. Now Allah Ta'ala has given me the authority now. So now you see how I treat you. And now the qabr will be expanded. The breeze of Jannat will come in that qabr. And this person will now start enjoying life. True enjoyment of life. On the other hand, a fajir. Fajir means a sinful person. Kafir, ungrateful person or disbelieving person. Both words come in the hadith. Fajir, kafir. When that type of a person passes away, goes into the qabr. Now on the one side, death is no easy thing. Now he comes into the qabr addresses him. Is you. There's no welcome for you here. No welcome for you. You were from the most hated people to me. Now that you have been handed over to me, now you see what I'm going to do to you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the qabr then squeezes this person. Squeezes him to such an extent that his ribs interlock. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually did this with his Mubarak fingers to show that how this person will be squeezed up. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 70 serpents will be let loose on this person. These serpents are such that if one of them have to spit in earth, nothing will grow here. Nothing will grow on earth. So potent is the poison from those snakes. And 70 of them will be let loose on this person, biting him, scratching him, attacking him. And he got nowhere to go. And this will continue until he is now handed over on the day of Qiyamah. The qabr will now hand him over on the day of Qiyamah to go for hisab. Reckoning. This is not the end of things. The azab in the qabr, as difficult as it is, when we are awoken on the day of Qiyamah, Allah save us.
Ameen.
Allah protect us.
Ameen.
But sinful people, disbelieving people, when they are awoken on the day of Qiyamah, coming out of this torment, being squeezed there, serpents, scorpions, whatever punishments Allah has got in the qabr, when they wake up and they see the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah, they will say, Ya waylana. They will say, woe unto us. Mam ba'athana. Who woke us up? Mim marqadina. From our resting place. They will refer to that. That place with the torments. They will refer to that as a resting place. In comparison to the difficulties of the day of judgment. And then is still Jahannam to follow. This is not fairy tales. This is not spoken just to listen to it. And this, why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us all of this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to be saved from this. He wants us to be from those that the qabr will say, Ahlan wa sahlan, marhaban bikum. Welcome to you, welcome. That when we pass away, our soul will go to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will say that I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants each and every one of us to receive that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded that hadith sharif. He said, the qabr is either rawdatum min riyadil jannah It's either a garden from amongst the gardens of Jannah, or it is a pit from the pit fires of Jannah. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, Jannah is so close to you. Jannah is so close to you, like your sandal strap. Like how your sandal strap, you can just open it, you can just close it, it's right there. The Jannah is so near to you. One naru mithlu lag. And Jahannam also is just as close. In other words, you make up your mind which way you want to go. Make up your mind which way you want. You want Jannah, it's there for the takings. And unfortunately, if you choose Jahannam, then that too is there. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, give us realization that we choose a road to Jannah. Choose a road to Jannah. Little bit sabr we have to make. Little bit sabr we have to make in the dunya. The world is not a place for our enjoyment. The world is not a place for our entertainment. The world is not a place to make us happy. The world is a place to make Allah Ta'ala happy. Our mission in this world is to make Allah Ta'ala happy. So when we pass away, Allah Ta'ala must tell us that He is pleased with us. Allah is pleased with us. Then when Allah Ta'ala puts us in Jannah, now Allah Ta'ala will please us. That you please me for your 50, 60, 70 years of life, please me. Live according to my rules. When you pass away and go to Jannah, you write the rule book. You now write the rule book. Now, no rules of mine. You can't make me angry because I got no rules now. My eternal, perpetual pleasure is on you. Because you can't upset me now. You writing the rule book. What you want, you do. I will provide the resources. And for you to enjoy it to the max, you'll never get sick. You'll have a body that's much more healthier. Your body here in the world can't even compare to the body that you're going to have. The strength you're going to have there, this world is nothing. In the world, you're allowed maximum of 4 wives. That's the strength I gave you in the world. Jannat, how many hoors you want? You'll have the strength for each and every one of them. Whatever you want to eat, you'll be able to eat. Nobody's going to tell you what time to wake up, what time to go to sleep. You design your party. You do what you want to do. Just make sabr a few years in this life. And when you're making sabr in this life, I'm not totally cutting you off too. You can still eat. You can still marry. You can still dress. You can still be happy. But within the confines of my laws. Don't break my laws. Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say, Guna mat karo, aram se raho. Ram ram mat karo. He said, Guna mat karo. Don't sin. Live in comfort. Nobody say you can't eat, you can't dress. No, live nicely. Just don't commit guna. That's all. Just don't break my law. So Allah Ta'ala is merciful. Allah Ta'ala is loving. Allah only wants the best for us. It's our foolishness if we don't take it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his whole life, so many advices, so many things, morning to night, is educating the ummah. Night to morning is crying for the ummah. And he's saying also that my example and your example is like a person who made a fire. Now the moths are coming. They thinking there's something good here with the fire. So they are coming towards the fire. This man is trying to chase them away. Save them from the fire. So they don't get burned. But they are overpowering. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my example and your example is like that. Fire of Jahannam is there. You are running headlong to that fire. I'm trying to save you, but you overpowered. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm holding you by the waist. In other words, the sunnah that I gave you, all this ta'lim that I left for you, it's like I'm holding you by the waist to prevent you from going into Jahannam. But you're still rushing headlong. Still rushing headlong into the fire. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. My, this world, our life is short. But how many of you sitting here never lost anybody? Is there anyone sitting here can say that I never lost anybody? Every one of us, we lost people. Some younger than us, some older than us. Small, small babies too are passing. So who, which guarantee we got now that we're going to live very long? Muhammad Zahir Sahib, now I'm going to cut to, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We read this when somebody passes away. You can read it at any loss, but generally we read it when somebody passes away. So he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun ka asan tarjuma kya hai? What is the easy translation of Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun? One is the literal translation. That to Allah, we all from Allah, and to Allah we belong, and to Allah we will return, right? So he says, but inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun ka asan tarjuma kya hai? What is the easy translation? He says, the easy translation is, aaj unki kal hamari bari. Today was his turn, tomorrow is going to be our turn. Today we carrying somebody's lash, somebody's body on our shoulders. Tomorrow somebody going to carry us. That is a reality. So we need to prepare for that. Here. Now is Hajj Mokka.